Watershed by Percival Everett. Read by J.D. Jackson. 1. Landscapes evolve sequentially except under extraordinary provocation, or in circumstances not at all to be apprehended, it is not probable that as many as 500 Indian warriors will ever again be mustered at one point for a fight. And with the conflicting interests of the different tribes and the occupation of the intervening country by advancing settlements, such an event as a general Indian war can never occur in the United States. Edward Parmalee Smith, 1873. My blood is my own, and my name is Robert Hawks. I am sitting on a painted green wooden bench in a small Episcopal church on the northern edge of the Plata Indian Reservation, holding in my hands a Vietnam-era M16, the butt of the weapon flat against the plank floor between my feet. There are seven other armed people sitting on the floor, backs against the paneled walls, or pacing and peering out the windows, stained and clear, at the armored personnel carrier some 100 yards away across the dirt and gravel parking lot, and at the pasture where two sad-looking bulls stand, their sides black and gray, flat against the sky behind them. Out there are 250 police, FBI all clad in blue windbreakers with large gold letters, and National Guardsmen looking like the soldiers they want to be. There is an FBI agent sitting in a chair opposite me. His hands are bound with yellow nylon cord. His mouth is ungagged. His feet are bare and rubbing against each other in this cold room. The hard look he had worn just hours ago has faded, and although his blue eyes show no fear, the continual licking of his lips betrays him. His partner, a shorter, wider man, is face down on the ground outside, his blood and last heat having melted the snow beneath him. He lies dead between two dead Indians, brothers, twins. That I should feel put out or annoyed or even dismayed at having to tell this story is absurd, since I do want the story told, and since I am the only one who can properly and accurately reproduce it. There is no one else in whom I place sufficient trust to attempt a fair representation of the events. Not that the events related would be anything less than factual, but that those chosen for exhibition would not cover the canvas with the stain or underpainting of the truth. And of course, truth necessarily exists only as perception and its subsequent recitation alters it. But I can tell it, my own incriminations aside. The insignificant point of light on the ceiling seemed to dilate as I watched, and I wondered how it was that the perforation would not let in enough light to illuminate even a section of the poorly lit room, but could allow in enough water to ruin the entire house, how it had to be in some way dark to see the distending prick, but water would always find me in there. I slapped myself for pondering like an idiot and did the only thing that made any sense. I grabbed my vest and the box of flies I'd tied the previous night and my 60-year-old Wright and McGill bamboo rod that no one could believe I actually got wet, much less used, and went fishing. Nymphs are meant to be fished near or on the bottom of the water, and so must absorb moisture and or be weighted so they get to the bottom quickly. The materials of their construction must give the appearance of life, suggesting the movement of a living insect and its larval or nymphal stage, its pulsing, vibrating. The fish get close to it without the concern of the surface predators and take a good look, and so it must be lifelike. My father had never liked fishing. It seemed enough to him that my grandfather, his father, hunted and fished. My grandfather never pushed the idea on him, however. In fact, he confided in me that he understood my father needed the difference between them as a necessary point of divergence. "We're so much alike," he would say, then make a cast or load